Okay, welcome everybody. Thanks for coming along to our session. I'm going to try and talk a bit to this side and then a bit to the middle, and then so you three over there will just be kind of left to yourselves. So we're going to talk today about integrating YAML with SharePoint. And really, this has come about from me working with a number of customers who want to add social collaboration, two-way conversation, that sort of thing into their intranets, and predominantly as I do SharePoint a lot, this is where this presentation has come from. But actually, it's not just about embedding YAML in SharePoint, because it's you can take these same techniques and use it to embed YAML in any website or any application. So what we're showing you today, just don't think of it as just SharePoint and YAML. It's just that's the kind of implementation we're showing you today, because it's what we've been working on. So I'm Alan Marshall. I work at Provoke, along with Rebecca here. I work in the Auckland office. Rebecca works in the Wellington office. We've been using lots of Skype for Business to put this together, which has worked out pretty good. I'm also a SharePoint MVP. This is my third year as a SharePoint MVP. I'm also run the SharePoint user group in Auckland. I'm the pre-sales technical person of the year from Microsoft's perspective, and I'm a P-seller for Microsoft. That's a partner seller. It was an unfortunate naming that it came up in the US and didn't realize what it actually meant outside of the US. So we're all peace sellers who work for Microsoft. Rebecca,
want to say Hi, everyone. I'm Rebecca. I work at the Provoke Wellington office. I'm a tech lead in SharePoint projects, mostly intranets, document management systems. I've been in the IT industry for nearly 9 years. Started off kind of in, you know, VB.net back in the day in Windows Forms applications, and slowly moved into SharePoint, which is awesome.
It is awesome.
And yeah, I run the Wellington SharePoint user group, so if anyone's down there and wants to present or come along, just let me know.
So what we're going to cover today, we're going to talk about why we'd bother integrating YAML with SharePoint, just to kind of introduce how we got to this point. We're going to show you different ways to make that happen and use some of our real-world integration examples to demonstrate that. We're also going to touch on how you might migrate from discussions or community boards. We didn't get a full demo working of that in practice. It was just too much to fit in with everything else we were talking about. But we're going to cover off enough of the concepts for you to be able to write something like that. Last of all, just on measuring success, and it was quite appropriate that last night at the keynote, they talked about that you need to add some sort of, not success measures, but analytics and understand what's going on and telemetry and all that sort of stuff. So quite appropriately, I happened to, at the end of this presentation, put together a bit of Power BI to show you how you can analyze what's going on in YAML to see whether what you've done in terms of integrating was actually worth the investment. What we're not going to show you is how to create a SharePoint provider hosted app. We're not going to show you how to use YAML. So we're kind of assuming you already know what SharePoint is and you already know what YAML is. And if you needed to create a SharePoint app based on the techniques we're showing you here, they're pretty easy to do now. And there's lots of other presentations that we'll cover that off. Okay. So if you do find you get lost, we've got a bunch of links in the back of resources and things you can go and look up, which is the same resources we used to create the presentation in the first place. Right, so that'll help you out if there's any techniques and things we're doing that you don't quite understand. So first of all, why integrate? So a lot of the time we're finding that intranets are coming a bit sort of one-way kind of comms, and even with the newsfeed capability in SharePoint, it didn't really embed itself in enough places for people to engage. And once Microsoft bought YAML and started embedding that inside of some of Office 365, and then they had created the add-on so you can jump into YAML quickly and it's all single sign-on, became much more of a realistic opportunity to actually integrate the YAML social capability into SharePoint, and then suddenly light up a whole bunch of two-way communication between different users. But it was also about making that connection between the content that's in your intranet and the social network. So you could just roll out YAML. You know, there's nothing wrong with doing that and storing files in YAML and using that social platform as your way of communicating. But if you're also using a platform for collaboration and document management and other content and blogs and things like that, then you kind of want a way to combine the two together. The other reason for using Yammer as opposed to something built into SharePoint is that you can also attach that to other applications. So there's a plugin for SAP. So if you've got SAP users, they can just go into there. There's one for Salesforce, you can use that as well. And then you can then have people having the same conversations in the same network, regardless of which application they're using. So if you extend that further, that could be your own business application that you write, that you also you leverage Yammer, and then all the conversations are going on in one place, rather than each individual thing like chatter inside of Salesforce, having just what the sales team's talking about, and then no one else sees it. It's like, well, why not just have one social platform? And that's where Yammer can fit in nicely. It's also about adopting these new ways of working, so that did come up in the keynote yesterday. I'm not always keen about this idea that it's all about the millennials. I'm not a millennial, but I do social networking. I spend a lot of time on my phone, so I kind of feel that I've been left out when I'm saying a millennial, but Rebecca's a millennial. But it's a lot of people, it was actually somebody in the HR team, I was talking about this with a company the other day, and a HR person was there, and they said, the people when they start the company don't ask what is my career path and business development and other sort of questions. They go, what do you do for social activity? How do people communicate socially within the organization? Can I access all this stuff on my mobile phone? No, it's not the same as it was in the past. So actually, you know, adopting Yammer and building it into the way you work with everything is going to enable you to attract those type of people into the organization. The last one on there, this small bang adoption, was one of the concepts we came up with one organization. Rather than roll out the whole of Yammer and get people starting using that, we just said, well, let's just start introducing bits of Yammer into the intranet so they're kind of using it but don't realize they're using it. And then eventually they go, oh, well, this is pretty cool. And then they start creating groups and other things on top of that and make it more of a viral type of thing. You still have to plan the rollout of Yammer. I don't assume just because you're just integrating bits of it, you don't have to worry about that someone's going to go to Yammer and create a group and start communicating. You still have to plan for that and have an idea about what you're going to do when somebody starts up a new group and calls it something you didn't want it called and starts having conversations about what they're having for dinner, which is not really what you wanted your Yammer network for. But you have to have a plan how to deal with that. Right, so where would you integrate it? So commonly, like homepage of your intranet, if you have one, you can add a Yammer update, a Yammer feed. So straight away, where you might have had previously news or discussions or the CEO blog or something else, maybe you replace that with just a series of different Yammer feeds on the homepage, and it's just all a two-way communication. The next one is in very specific areas, like a team site. Now, where you may have had a discussion board that you create in a team site, by default, when you create a team site, it comes with one. In fact, it still tries to embed the news feed, even if you turned on the Yammer. Basically, you have to delete the newsfeed and then add the discussion board in. But in this case, use the Yammer, create a group inside of Yammer and attach that group into the team site. So we're working with a company at the moment to migrate. So they've currently got a bunch of team sites, and we're going to go through all the team sites and create corresponding Yammer groups using just the API, and then reattach the Yammer group back into the team site, back into the homepage. And then the last one is something very specific. So around news, making it easier for people to be able to like a piece of news, follow a piece of news so it turns up and it tells them if someone else has added something, and also commenting around news. So the tags and notes things, I think the other day they announced that they're not bothering with tags and notes. So if anyone's embedded that inside of their page layout, that's gone, or gone-ish. So this is a pretty good replacement for doing that particular thing. Right. So there's different approaches to doing this. So there's an open graph. There's open graphs for everything these days, so, but it's just an API. And there's a bunch of out-of-the-box experiences that Microsoft have already built into Office 365. There is some that are in the on-premise SharePoint, but you kind of got to build more of the on-premise ones yourself. But I'll show you where they are. There's the embed code, so it's literally a piece of JavaScript you can add to the page and create those feeds and the like buttons and the follows that I just showed there. Then we start getting into more technical developed solutions, which is where Rebecca comes into this presentation and not me so much, because she's the coder and I'm more the business person to find out what you want to use Yammer for. So then we start creating what we call function wrappers, or essentially like web parts or reusable components around the Open Graph API. And then from that, also, we can create our own REST JavaScript calls, and then last of all, start creating some server-side solutions. And pretty much, we're going to show you all of these in action and what they do and some of the pros and cons of each as we go along. So the embed feed, as I said, it's just a piece of JavaScript. You can add it to any page, and I'm going to show you how to do that in a minute. It works in any version of SharePoint because it's just JavaScript in the page. It's just that in older versions of SharePoint, it doesn't allow you to dump script tags in the page and complains about it. But if you're in 2013, 2010 is not too bad as well. It actually uses the UI from Yammer, so it always looks the same. So it doesn't matter which web page you embed this thing on, it's always going to look the same, which is quite good from an end-user adoption perspective. It doesn't mean you have a different way to display that content in different places and teach them how to do it different ways. So you get exactly the same experience wherever you are. It is therefore maintained by Yammer, and I'll tell you what's good and not so good about that as well. But it does integrate with single sign-on. So if you've got all of your directory syncing up to Yammer and to Office 365, and you've got the two connected, then it's all single sign-on. So once a user signs in to SharePoint in this case, then it will sign into Yammer as well. But if you've hooked up your application to sign into Azure AD, then it will use the same tokens. So if you've already signed into Azure AD, then it will also sign into Yammer and also sign into Office 365. So if you use a single identity, that single identity provider, you'll get the single sign-on capability regardless of what application it is. Right, so I'm going to jump over and demo some of this to you. This is just my OneDrive in Office 365. As we've been working on this presentation, I've been dumping in pictures and all sorts of other things into this site. But what I just wanted to show you is what happens when you change over to Yammer. Now, at the bottom here, you can see it says post. I'm just going to click on that so it just starts up. Before you integrate Yammer into Office 365, there's a setting to go, here's my Yammer network, can you set this up and configure it? It's pretty easy. It actually only takes like 5 minutes to say, here's the URL on my Yammer network, go and add it in. Once you've done that, that option there that says post, that used to say follow, right? And it used to add a follow entry into the newsfeed inside of SharePoint, and that literally just changes to post. And then what it does is it cool springs this up, and it puts the URL in there, and it's going to post that into Yammer. Because I've already signed into Yammer, it didn't ask me to log in or anything. I just already signed into Yammer just to keep it simple. So otherwise, it goes through the single sign-on process and bounces back. Now, one of the problems with this is that it actually is going to post this into all company. Now, anyone who's used Yammer will know that all company is not a very good idea, because that will just post it like I just send an email to everyone. Right? So there's a bit of training if you're going to use this post option to go delete that all company and add something in that's a real group. The other issue is it doesn't detect what network you actually want to post this in. I happen to be signed into the Provoke Zoo network, so that's where it's going to post it. If I happen to be signed into the Ignite network, because I've been busy yammering on their network, it'll go and post this into the Ignite network, right? Which is not ideal. So use with caution is my recommendation. Now, the other place that they've lit this up is inside of Delve. So if you click on the Yammer icon inside of Delve, it literally does the same thing, and it creates a post that you can just start discussing that particular document, right? You'll find the same kind of issues exist with this as well, but it doesn't tell you that it's not going to the right place. It will just put it potentially in the wrong place that you don't actually want it. It doesn't actually yet do Yammer posts inside of Delve. I think that's kind of planned, right? So you'd go to Delve and you see Yammer signals as well as document signals, but at the moment it's just adding that icon so you can quickly start a conversation about Yammer. Right, let's show you how to do some of those embed features. So here's Anyone who works for a Microsoft partner will recognize this screen. You've probably seen it thousands of times. It's the demo screen. But I've literally got the Yammer embed on the homepage there. It's just added with a script prop. Now, if you want to do this yourself, you can just go to the Yammer page. Ignore that certificates because I connected and disconnected. So where I said like you could go to a team site and just embed a feed from a team site. So if I go to the legal department, if I scroll down here on the right, can everyone see that? I could zoom in, but it just says grab the embed fee. And literally it's like if anyone's gone to YouTube and go grab the embed code from YouTube, it's just the same thing, right? So you just copy that. I did press Control C. And then you'd go to your SharePoint page, edit your SharePoint page, go to the place where you want to paste it in. And what you do is add a, I'm just going to put this in the top because it's so important. So I'm just going to insert a web part, and you'll find under media and content this script editor. If you add that in, you get a little edit snippet. Has everyone done this? Yeah, okay, so this is all kind of easy enough. So you edit the snippet, paste that in, insert that. I'm gonna wait for it to return and save. I'll just save that page. And then with any luck, the demo will work absolutely excellently and it will show my Yammer feed. And that was it. So any user could do that. So any user, as soon as they've got a group inside of Yammer, they don't even need to be an administrator. They can just go embed this, and then as long as they can edit a page in SharePoint, they can just paste in the script into a SharePoint page. Right. But you kind of the users need to know a bit about what they're actually doing to be able to do that. The last thing you do is you can add these like and follow buttons, just so you can see what. So that's the embed code for buttons, right? Now, the buttons, if you've ever tried to play with these, always look like this. They're always blue. And then when you hover over it, it's got a wonderful red that also comes up. So if I like that and then go, I want to unlike it, it goes red. Yeah. Now, it might not match with the rest of your internet styling. The problem is, and the reason why I brought up this bit at the bottom here, is it actually runs inside an iframe. So even though you have to tell it, take this embed button and put it into a div tag on my page, and you decide kind of where you're going to put that, it then puts the whole thing in an iframe inside your div tag. And it's actually coming from Yammer itself. So if you try and style it, you can't. Because one, it's in an iframe. And even if you try to point to it, it says, no, sorry, that's a different URL. You're not allowed to add styling to it. So you kind of, if you don't like the way those buttons look, then you want to follow some of Rebecca's recommendations of what to do next, because otherwise they'll always look like that. But if you're happy with them, then they're easy enough to grab and embed in the page itself. And you can do it in any page you like. So I just had this basic HTML page that I just wrote in Notepad, and literally it has this, that's the embed feed. It's a very simple piece of code. You just say what the action is that you want. So the action is like or follow or share. And then what the URL is and the title of the object that you want to share. But it means that if the user wants to add this to a page, they've got to dump that script in, then they've got to set the URL, they've got to set the title, and they've got to set the description, which is probably beyond most web editors, which is why we create these what we call function wrappers to try and pull in some of that from maybe metadata from the page instead of person having to manually add it. Because it doesn't just pick up the URL of the page or the title or the description, which you thought, well, why wouldn't it just get that from the metadata of the page? But it doesn't. You have to actually put the text in inside of the code. Now, one thing I did, last thing I was going to show you that I did forget to jump into was how to change. Remember when I embedded this legal services thing? It had the igniteyammer.com across the top. Right, which you kind of, well, I know what the network is. And also at the bottom you get this Yammer footer and a logout button, which is not ideal. If you go to this, this URL is in the resources, but it's yammer.configure. Once you're signed into a network, you can go to this URL. but it's not well advertised. If you go to the developer.yammer.com page where all the documentation is, this thing isn't even mentioned on that page. It's kind of a bit of a hidden one, and I keep posting in OneNote and then forgetting where I posted it. So it's in the presentation, so you don't forget. But in here, you can actually set what all of the things are that are going to be written out in that embed code. So I say which network it is, what group ID. I can even change the text that appears at the top. So it says, hey, participate in a legal discussion instead of what are you working on, which is a bit more appropriate. I can also set a couple of other settings, like turn off that header, turn off the footer. And I don't want to see the network. So it looks a bit more like it's within the page. I can also pick other feed types. So I can say my feed, so my personal home feed, a particular user. So say you wanted to embed what the CEO's been talking about. So you can go user, just grab the user's ID, and then you can just have a little feed of what he's talking about on Yammer rather than him posting a blog or something else inside the site. And the last one is topic. So if there's a topic that everyone's been talking about, maybe you've got the conference coming up and you want everyone to use a hashtag for the conference, like MS Ignite NZ, then you can embed a feed on the page. Hey, here's what everyone's talking about the conference that's coming up, and use that like on a meeting page or a conference page. Right. Now, once you've done that and you apply the changes, it creates this code at the bottom, and you can just grab that and overwrite the code that you had in the page. Okay. So really kind of the non-developer ways. I say non-developer because you're still going to know a bit about JavaScript potentially to do some of that, but they don't require any hard coding. I haven't had to open Visual Studio, use Notepad++ bit, but that's about it. So the other thing I showed you was that embed configure, and we went through these light buttons, which enable you just to like the article you're on, follow that article. So follow essentially just means anytime someone posts something in here, I want to be notified. But it doesn't do much different from like, except that you didn't like it, but you're following it, which is kind of a reasonable thing that you don't kind of get that in Facebook. You can like and unlike something, but you can't say I want to see comments and updates to this, but I don't actually like the content, because it kind of means something different. And then it gets people engaged, as I say, in the conversation. Share is the same as post, right? So if you wanted to add sharing, then that's the equivalent of that post option against the item. And I kind of covered a bit about what the embed button code looks like. Now, with the buttons approach, one of our suggestions is to kind of build some sort of wrapper. We added in the back here, there was a presentation in Ignite that showed a lot of similar stuff, but at a very high level. But he created on GitHub a wrapper for the scripting stuff, and it just gives you a web part that you can just add to the page, and you can just set the topic ID or the group ID. So it makes it really easy for an admin just to add that web part to the page rather than say, go and grab the embed code and add a script editor web part, right? Because they're used to, hopefully they're used to editing settings inside of a web part. So if you want to just do something simple, then just go to that link at the back and grab that web part or an app if you're in Office 365 and use the app. And then that wraps all of that JavaScript up and just gives some very simple settings inside of a web part. Right. Now, the other thing that we wanted to, most people ask is, for the like button, they'd like to see the number of counts. How many people have liked this? And the reason is that if you see, every other network you go to, it tells you the number of likes. Right? It says, how many other people like this? And you go, oh, 16 other people like that. Oh, yeah, I like that as well. It's kind of like a group think. It kind of draws you in because you think, well, if everyone else likes it, maybe I should like it. Whereas if it just says like and unlike, it's kind of, well, how many other people were engaged in this? Am I the first one? So you might find maybe the first adopter goes in, but the second person doesn't follow behind them because you haven't kind of shown this is easy to do. It's okay to do. It's safe to do. So you're kind of saying other people would like this. It's safe to like things inside of your network is what you're trying to encourage. So that's one thing that you can't do currently. So this brings us to Rebecca and what Rebecca's been building in the background. So we're hoping to show you, we're going to show you some code snippets and things that we've done for customers to actually make that experience better. But it's important to know that that is the out-of-the-box experience, and you should always show people that first, rather than immediately getting out code and start cutting code, where maybe a lot of the embed features would actually work quite well for you.
Cool. Hey everyone, I've got a bit of a cough, so hopefully I don't have to stop too much and drink water. Is anyone else unfortunate enough to be sick at a conference? Anyone? No, just me? Some people? Cool. So yeah, Alan's kind of taken you through a number of the different ways to kind of integrate with Yam out of the box. So I'm going to show you some more of the custom ways. Hopefully the whole presentation will kind of help you guys understand the different ways, because I found when I first started coding for Yammer and that, I was quite confused about the, you know, there's so many different options to look through. And there's little documentation online, really. You know, there's some blog posts. The Yammer site's got kind of broad information, but nothing really specific. So if you're getting started, it can be a little bit kind of overwhelming. So I'm first going to talk about the REST API and SDKs that are available. I'm just going to show some quick examples, and then I'm going to move on to talking about some of the custom solutions that we've built. So Yammer has a number of documented REST endpoints that you can call through JavaScript, but this number is limited, and they haven't really increased it in a couple of years. But you can actually call some undocumented endpoints, which is what we've had to do in some of our custom solutions. So you just have to be aware that these will change at some point, but so could the normal endpoint. So it's really just, if you're integrating with Yammer, calling endpoints, just, you know, keeping an eye that nothing changes. And to figure out what the undocumented calls are, basically you just play around in Yammer, get Fiddler up or developer tools, just have a look at what's happening, and just figure out those endpoints and the data that's being passed back and forth, which is what we've done for some of our stuff. So there are a number of SDKs available, and I've just got some quick examples of the JavaScript one here. So what this does is it just allows you to easily authenticate users and actually request information. So in the top one, you'll notice it's just kind of calling the yam.connect.login button. This has a login button for you. It pops up the authentication module. It's basically the only code you need. And the second one, we're calling a request to the user's endpoint, and we just want to get all usernames starting with the letter A. So it's basically as simple as that. It kind of passes, you know, the credentials for you. So the only kind of downfall with using this approach, although it gives you a bit of flexibility in what you kind of want to request, you have to actually display the data yourself. So, you know, you have to create the HTML and CSS, like, unlike with the embed iframes, which actually create the interface for you. Cool. And basically you can just put these into script editor web parts or page layouts or JavaScript files, like the examples that Alan showed. Next. More clicker fails. Okay, cool. So I'll talk about some of the examples that we actually implemented where kind of the previous solutions couldn't quite get us to our end goal that the customer wanted. So we customized the like button and counter because none of the options available would actually get us that counter, which is also an undocumented endpoint. I'll talk about a wrapper that we wrote for the embed code for following comments, because they kind of did what we needed them to do, so we just kind of made it a bit reusable. And we created a client web part for SharePoint for the Yammer poll, and I'll discuss why we did that soon. And I've just highlighted group membership here because we've done some work around group membership. As Ellen said before, you know, you have a team site and you want people to join that, but you also want it to automatically join a Yammer group, so just kind of getting API calls to do that, but I'm not going to go into that, just thought I'd mention it. Cool, so before we get into the exact examples, I'm just going to talk about the high-level components and how they fit together, and I'm going to see if this clicker works. Yes. Sorry, just have a drink. So the key pieces are obviously SharePoint Online and Yammer. But we're also using Azure to host our provider-hosted add-in and other custom code. So in SharePoint Online, we've got the pages and the JavaScript. In Yammer, we're just interacting with groups and discussions. And in Azure, we have our just our web API project. It's got our client web parts and our custom event receiver sitting in there. Cool, so just to give you an idea of what the actual solution looks like, basically you create a provider-hosted add-in solution and it creates two projects for you. So it just generates these for you. So we've got the SharePoint project at the top. So this is where you add client web parts, event receivers, and other SharePoint components. And what Visual Studio does for you is it actually automatically provisions the code in the web API project for you. So for example, we created a Yammer client web part and it created the view and the controller for us automatically. So you just have something that you can get up and running straight away. So it's really handy, and then you just start building your code from there. So I'm not going to go into detail about how to actually deploy the add-ins or what an add-in is. I will mention that before your code can talk to Yammer, you actually need to create a Yammer application on your Office 365 tenant. So this is basically to get a client ID and secret so that your app has permissions to talk to your Yammer network. And you need to specify the URL that your Azure website is going to be sitting on. So you need to do this for like development environments, test and prod. Cool. And also to retrieve an administrator token, which I'll talk a little bit about again in the next slide, the app needs to be registered using the Yammer admin account. And this follows the OAuth flow, kind of similar to Facebook. I don't know if anyone's done any Facebook development. Cool. It's like at the keynote. Cool. So I'll just talk about authentication and impersonation more. So there's kind of main ways to authenticate to Yammer. The first one is used by the Yammer embed code, so that's kind of what Alan took us through. Single sign-on, it'll automatically sign you in when they click a button to sign in, or it'll pop up and they'll enter the username and password. The second approach is similar to the first approach in that through that process of getting them to authenticate, you then kind of take their authentication token and you can store it in your application or in a database that you can use it later to actually kind of impersonate that user. And the third approach just uses that administration token, which I talked about before. So this basically just gives you God rights to interact with Yammer in ways that normal users obviously can't and impersonate people. And this is beneficial for situations where you just want, you know, a web part to show and you don't want anyone to have to worry about signing in or anything. Useful, obviously, if you don't have single sign-on. So yeah, the process for getting that token is easy but quite manual. So as I said before, it's kind of the OAuth flow. And at the end of this presentation, we've got a URL with steps on like how to actually get that administrator token, if that's useful for anyone. I'll just quickly mention security. How many people here have kind of built web APIs on Azure? Anyone? Cool. So obviously there's a bit of, you know, security you need to think about because anyone could call that endpoint unless you kind of secure it. What we did is we actually just pass an authorization token with our JavaScript call, so it's just like a string. And that's obviously not that secure, but for getting a like count on a news article, we weren't really too worried about spending too much time on security. But there are actually other options. There's a library called Adele.js, which lets you authenticate with Azure AD. So there'll be a link to that at the end of the presentation. Cool. So I've just got a little bit of the authorization kind of code here. So what we're doing is we got the email address from SharePoint. And what we want to do is get that user's ID, because we need the ID to actually ask Yammer for their authorization token back. So we're using our admin token, you know, to get the user from Yammer. And then we're calling the token's endpoint with the ID along with our authentication token. So I'm not going to go too much into the code because this is a 200-level presentation, but yeah, feel free to come and talk to me about any of the codey bits, or if you want to actually see the deployment or anything working, just come and chat to me. Cool. All right, let's actually look at some of the stuff that we built. So this is kind of similar to what Alan was showing earlier. Our client wanted a like counter and a like button, a follow button, and comments, just to make news more interactive. And obviously the SharePoint out-of-the-box social tools aren't really that great, especially on SharePoint Online. I couldn't actually figure out how to add comments like you can on-prem with the My Site's kind of social tools. So this is kind of a good example where Yammer can really enhance SharePoint and SharePoint Online. Cool. I'm just going to quickly show you the end product before we get into talking about how the code works. So you'll see on the top right here we've got a like button and we've got our follow button. So I'm just going to like that. So the follow here and the comments are embed code, but the like is just our custom code, so you can make this look however you like, but I've just made it look like the follow button just because kind of I can't change the follow button. So I'll just add a comment here. And post this against my awesome news article about best laptops. So exciting. Cool, and if we go have a look at Yammer, you'll notice that basically this normally happens instantly, but sometimes it'll take a little while. It just posts into the news group. We've got our new comment here. You'll also notice I've got this Yammer discussion ID for debugging. I've just put that there for purposes of explaining how we got the light counter working in a minute. We'll just go to the home page. And on the home page, you've just got this recent activities feed here, which tells you kind of who's following stuff and liking stuff, which is pretty cool too. Cool, so we'll start with follow and comments. So yeah, these both use the Yammer embed code to display contents, but to ensure that the code is reusable and configurable, we created a wrapper, as Alan suggested earlier, so just means that users don't have to worry about adding Yammer code to every single page every time they create a news article. So what this code looks like is, this is kind of just snippets of it because I couldn't actually fit all of the code into the slide. We've just got a bunch of configuration options. So the news group ID is one thing that you would have to change per page layout. So I'm using this on a news page layout so that whenever they create news, it automatically adds everything. We've got just like a div ID for the comments, getting the page URL. We're also passing in the page URL, the title and description, as Alan said earlier, but we're actually getting these from the page properties. So when somebody comes in and creates a news article, they just, you know, type in the title like you do in a SharePoint page, a description, and then, yeah, the URL just automatically pulls through. So it's important to note here that it can be a little bit confusing with Yammer because all of the news goes into one group, but we only want comments for this specific news article, which is where the page URL, page title, and page description come in to kind of filter that down to this is our specific news article. We just want the follow button for these and the comments for this.
Yeah, the other thing to note as well is if you use the embed like button, it only adds to the activity feed. It doesn't actually mark it against the URL for the item itself. So if later on you want to get some analytics about how many people liked this page, you can't actually do it, because it's actually the Open Graph will tell you, did somebody did this person like a page? Yes, but you can't ask for this page how many people liked it. So by actually creating the article in a specific newsfeed, we can then query that. We can get the export out of that newsfeed and then query again and find number of likes.
Yeah. Cool, so let's talk about the like counter. So I'm, embedding a like button, as Ellen said, is really easy with just the embed code. But our customer really wanted the like counter to make it kind of, a bit nicer. So to get around this problem, we just created our own HTML, JavaScript, and calls to our web API project. So the get call and the like a message post call are both undocumented. So we had to kind of figure them out by playing around with Yammer and just by having a look at what was going on in Fiddler. So we'll just keep an eye on this for our client to make sure it doesn't break randomly. So our main challenge was is that we needed to actually create an initial discussion in Yammer, because we couldn't have a like counter against the news group, because that's everything. And we couldn't really store likes against the groupings of news items, if you know what I mean. So what we wanted to do was create an initial discussion when a news page was created, so that we could then use that as like this kind of storage place for the like counts and whether a person has liked the news article or not. So this was like, yeah, let's do this. It seemed really easy. And then we realized that users that weren't admins or didn't have edit permissions couldn't actually save the discussion ID against the page, because they don't have access to actually do that. So then we're like, all right, how do we get around this? So we decided to use an event receiver, which is quite clever, I think. So basically what that does is it's using our application's permissions. So our application has like full rights to the whole site. So when a user creates an article, it's got an item updated event receiver that runs. It checks whether a discussion already exists, and if it doesn't, it'll create a new one, pull back the discussion ID, and save it against the page's properties. And so in our JavaScript, we can then say get that page property, and then pull through the right like status and counter onto the page. So this is just kind of a diagram of that. So it basically, news page loads, it's already got that ID there, it passes it to web API, and then it goes to Yammer, how many likes has this specific discussion ID got, and then it also uses the current user's email address to find out whether they've liked that specific discussion or not. It passes it back, and then we display it on the page. So I'll just show some of the snippets of that code quickly. So the top line is where we stored our discussion ID, kind of called it Yammer message ID there, but we'll just ignore that. The second kind of highlighted bit of code is just where we're calling our API and passing in that discussion ID. And then basically we're just adding, the buttons and hiding them for like and unlike based on what their current like status is. Attaching some events so that when they click on it, it actually calls our API and says, unlike this or like this. Adding social to news, it was really handy adding that that wrapper for the follow and discussions, so that, the client would just create a news page, it all just works for them, it's good. We managed to get them their like status and counter, and it's all working good so far.
Yeah, because actually what you get when you say, get me likes, it returns every individual name that liked it in batches of 50. So if you get back 50, you have to do another request to say, get the next lot. And then you go, how many did I get in total? That's the result. You don't actually get how many people liked it. Just for the fun of it. Yep,
you could definitely just get back all the usernames and display that. That would be a good enhancement for the customer.
Yeah, I'll give that feedback.
The idea.
You're not the first person.
Cool. So I'll talk about the Yammer poll client web part that we built and why we did that. So our client just wanted a simple, usable poll experience. I don't know if you guys have used the SharePoint survey sort of web part. Does anyone like it? So we kind of looked at the Yammer ones and we're like, oh, you know, it's quite basic, but it's pretty easy to use, it's functional. So we decided to use this. But what we didn't want is we didn't want kind of who posted it, what time it was posted, like, reply, share. So the customer just wanted that kind of middle bit, like I just want the poll on my page. So we could have done this with standard embed code to get it to look kind of like that with everything in it. But yeah, because we just wanted the middle bit, we actually had to customize it. So yeah, we approached this by creating a SharePoint client web part. And also in order to make it dynamic so that whenever they add a new poll to the, you'll notice in there we've got the SharePoint poll topic. Whenever they add a new poll and tag that topic, that will be the one that shows up on their page. So it's quite cool, so I'll just show you more. So in our client web part, we've got a topic ID, which is the ID of that SharePoint poll topic. So it'll, you could add a different, this web part to different pages and then pull through different topics. So yeah, like on the legal page, you could have a legal topic and have polls on that. So yeah, our poll uses MVC, so we have the view and the control, as I explained earlier, kind of creates all that for you, and then you kind of just plug your code in. So yeah, the code is fairly basic. It uses the topic stored in the web part properties, pulls that through to retrieve the poll from Yammer, and then it kind of just displays the HTML return from Yammer.
Did everyone like the scones this morning? Jam and
scones.
Cream.
I like cake better than scones. So the only downside to this approach is that you're getting the HTML back, but you're not actually getting the JavaScript events. So basically you have to reattach the JavaScript events yourself. So for the poll that wasn't too bad because we've really just got like the voting button, so it wasn't too many
They're actually just hidden divs between the graph and the choices. So we just hook those back up so it just shows and hides the divs again.
Yep. Cool, so I just got some quick example of the code here. We're getting the impersonation token for the current user, see if they've voted or not, that kind of thing. And then we're basically just getting the inline HTML from Yammer based on that topic ID. Cool, so just to give you a brief overview of kind of what I talked about, the actual code for Yammer is not that complicated. Like for me, the hardest thing I found was just getting my head around everything. You know, you've got your client application, you know, in Yammer and different IDs. You've got your generating the tokens, creating the application in SharePoint. You also need a client ID and secret from SharePoint to install your application. Had to create an Azure service bus for debugging remote event receivers. So there's quite a few different tokens and, you know, secrets and client IDs and stuff that you're kind of dealing with, and it was more the overall kind of picture of piecing everything together that was kind of hard. And in typical SharePoint fashion, it's kind of, sometimes you almost think you're there and then you're not, and then you have to think of a different way. So it's really about just playing around with different approaches until you kind of get it going. Cool. Do you want to talk about migration?
Yeah, I'll do migration.
Oh, I didn't cough or lose my voice. That's good.
So I'm going to 2 minutes, and I've probably got about 5 minutes to talk to you about something. I'm realizing between you and your lunch. So hopefully you can spend a bit more time. So from a migration perspective, as I said, we didn't get to build this, but essentially we've shown you all the components that you'd need. So the idea would be that you'd talk to the SharePoint API to grab the discussion board entries and then impersonate the users as you go along. So for instance, you grab the first discussion, impersonate that user and create the entry inside of Yammer as that person, and then grab the reply and then create the entry as the reply, and you just keep going until you've got through the entire discussion. I haven't built this yet, so I have no idea how long it's actually gonna take to run through like a whole discussion board. And it depends how much people have been using discussions and communities as to whether you want to migrate them. So some of our clients have gone, well, there's only like 25 entries in there. It's not worth the, you know, investing in doing the migration process. But if you've had communities for a long while and have been using them quite a lot, you know, then it might be worth creating that code. Now, the downside to it is everything we posted on the day you run the code. So unlike with SharePoint, you can kind of create things on the right created date. You can't do that with the Yammer API. So you're just going to end up, you'll get the stream correct and the replies, but you just won't get the dates of when they're actually posted. So everything will be as if it started on day one, unfortunately. But everything we've shown you code-wise, you could do this in terms of just impersonating users. Of course, the SharePoint API, hopefully you already, if you're a dev, you'd already know that piece, and that should be easy enough to create. Now, the other one I wanted to talk to you about is analytics. So Yammer has some analytics. So if you're an admin, you can go to the network admin and go usage analytics, and it says, yeah, there's 25 posts in the last week. And you go, that's awesome. Did anyone reply to those posts? Were there value? And then it might tell you there's X number of users joined. You go, oh, that's great. Did they post anything like after they joined, or did they join any groups? You know, what happened? So their analytics are like just hit counters, right? It really doesn't give you anything that's qualitative. It's all just there's a quantity of things. But fortunately, there's an API to export the Yammer analytics, right? So you can get all of the data out of the network as CSV files, and you can do, if you've got external networks as well, you can do like the internal network and external networks. And so what we've been building is a process that actually it runs as an Azure web job. So the Azure web job is a scheduling type job, and it goes over to the Yammer network. We had to get the Yammer network admin OAuth token first. So we just sign into the Yammer network and grab the OAuth token. We store that against the Azure web job. So that goes and grabs, gets the export out of the network, stores a CSV file into blob storage in Azure, and it adds an entry in a queue saying, this file needs processing. And then we have another Azure web job that looks at that queue and goes, oh, I need to pick that up and start doing some work with that. We then end up storing it in two SQL Azure databases, a raw one. So we just take the CSV files and we dump them in. So we can work with them in sort of SQL Azure. It worked out easier than trying to write it all in code and mash it all up, because we can run some queries in SQL Azure to create joins and that sort of thing. We also added a bit of semantic analytics to this as well. So as it's processing each item, it takes the message that the person wrote, sends it to the sentiment analysis, which is a machine learning thing in Azure, and says, was this a positive message or a negative message? And we store that against each message, right? And then I suddenly realized that because we're actually posting the news as individual items, we can actually, for any news, look at all the comments that were made and get an overall average score of was this news received positive or negatively. It's kind of a bonus, which I hadn't realized. Now, to actually prove whether this worked or not, I actually did a quick like proof of concept and realized I could do most of this with just with Power BI. Now, if you're a network admin, now, to get network admin rights, you're going to have to probably beg IT for this or get them to give you a token of some sort. Because the problem with a network admin inside of Yammer is you can see everything. You can see all the private messages. Even if you're not a member of the private group, you can see what people wrote, right? So most people don't give out network admin. There's only two people in Provoke that have network admin, right? So when I did this, I asked the network admin to give me the export and scrub all the private messages and to give me the CSV files. But anyway, you can go into here and do the export, or you can write the API and use the admin token to do it yourself. And then I just knocked this up in my spare time to show that you could do this with Power BI. Because what it does is it exports a CSV file, CSV files, which is this list here. So you get the messages, which is the main one, and users who kind of wrote those messages, and then topics also connects up as well. The problem is some of that's embedded in the data, so you'll find topics and app mentions are just as tags inside of the message code, but using Power Query, I could actually extract all the tags and create another table with all the tags, and which is all my topics, and I can actually extract all the app mentions to find out where other people were mentioned. Now, in a most simplistic way, I just proved that these CSV files gave us enough data to be able to do this, but then we decided that, well, we want to add sentiment analysis and do a whole bunch of, you know, larger Yammer networks. Like ours doesn't, as you can see by the numbers, we only got like 400 odd messages like posted in a month, you know, whereas if you've got like thousands and thousands, then Power BI is not going to quite handle it. Also, this is the free version of Power BI, so you can get up to 1 gig of data. This is hardly anything, it's like a meg or something like that. So that's a lot of data, 1 gig, and you can get the whole thing for free. And the last real icing on the cake is that it actually hooked up Cortana free. So I can now go show me message topics, and then it goes, oh, did you, yeah, in a second, here's on the message topics. And if I had some more measures and metrics, oh, it'd be interesting that coffee is up there and beer. There's obviously top things that we talk about. And because of our office in Seattle, we've got Go Hawks is a top thing as well, right? But that's just using, so that I just said, publish my Power BI up to the Power BI site. And it went, oh, you've got this little cool feature. I went, oh, didn't even realize that was in there. And it's using the Cortana thing to go across that Power BI model. Now, once we get all the data into SQL Azure, I'll point the Power BI at the SQL Azure database and then get all of that same capability, and you could ask all sorts of random questions about your Yammer data. And that's giving you more qualitative results. You can go, you know, how many messages had more than 5 replies, you know, which shows that there's lots of engagement going on. You know, what are the trends on our topics over time? You know, do they go up and down? People talk about different things at different times. Right, the last other cool one, if you've never seen this, called the Social Nucleus, was that it's actually nuclear. Can everyone see that URL? I can't remember if I added it in or not. NucleusAzureWebsite.net. Got a demo of this in at Ignite in the US. Showed this, and you don't have to be an admin to do this, you can just point it at your network, and you can see how popular you are. I'm reasonably popular inside of Provoke. I'm quite happy with that.
I'm not.
And but Emma, who's presenting, did anyone read Emma's? Go and read it in the thing. It says about being naked or something or other. I think that was just to attract lots of people to go and watch Emma. But you can see lots of people like Emma more than me. I'm disappointed with that. So I might want to grow my network a bit more. But anyway, this is just using the API to call the follows. So you sign into here using a single sign-on, and it just goes get your list of followers. You notice at the top, it's got the yellow thing, say only brought back 50, because you do the first query, it gives you 50, and then it loads more, and you get the next 50. And then if I load in another 50, I go another 2 times to get all of Emma's followers inside of the organization. She's followed by just about everyone, because there's only just over 100 of us. So whereas I got only one stream of 50. Yeah, you could. But it's also a good way of seeing a cross-section across your organization of are people following other people. So if what you were trying to do is break down barriers between departments, then being able to use something like this or write something yourself to go, you know, do we have people following from this department, people in that department, in which case you're getting some sort of cross-section of collaboration going on. Right. Well, not that one. That one. Cool, we are going to wrap up. Some challenges that we noticed along the way. The login process, if you don't have single sign-on working, then when you add the Yammer embed to the page, you get this login with Yammer. And some people go, well, why do I do that? And don't actually then sign in. So really, you know, if you're going to go with this embed approach, then definitely get single sign-on working well. Getting tokens takes a while. Like you've got to grab the URL, you've got to put your client ID in, post it back again, and then it gives you another secret, and then you update that. But once you've done it once, it's kind of not that hard to get the tokens. But we don't know how long they last, and no one can seem to answer that question. There isn't a refresh token, there's just a token. And we've had the admin token for Provoke's one for months, and no idea when it runs out. At some point, someone might have to go back in and get the token again, in which case we've stored it as a connection string inside of Azure. So if we do need to update it, we just update the connection string. We don't have to go and redo all the code for that wrapper. Yes, the API is missing something, as the gentleman here pointed out. Likes. likes would like to have the number of things, the number of people that like this, not who liked it, would be useful. The export is also missing some things. So when you do the export, kind of work with what's there. There is some stuff that it doesn't output that you kind of expect. And things like the Yammer poll is actually an attachment. And also if you praise somebody, that's an attachment. And it's like, well, then I've got to go get the attachments, which then return in XML, and then I've got to parse it. So, you know, it's not ideal. We haven't worked out what to do with external users with this embedded stuff, so just be aware of that. Like, if you add it to a site and somebody shares that with an external user, that site, then it's going to try and attach to your embedded feed from that site, and then they might be added as an external user to your Yammer network. So test that. We haven't tested it yet. And there's, of course, rolling out Yammer as an embed. There's some other side effects. Like, as soon as you do a directory sync into Yammer, because you want to enable single sign-on, it sends everyone an email, welcome them to the Yammer network. Had that, don't do that. There's a button in the admin section to turn that off. Then do your directory sync, so you don't send a welcome message to everyone in the organization, because the CEO is never happy about you suddenly rolling something out you didn't know about. There is some more related SharePoint sessions coming up you might want to go to. I'm going to be around, I don't know if they're doing lunch over here. If there are, I'm going to be around here. Go over there. Okay, so recommendation, gentlemen in the third row back, is to go back over there. I will be wherever lunch is then. But I will definitely be in the hub and the happy hour those evenings. By closing drinks, I'll probably be worn out, and I may not be closing drinks. So you might want to catch me in the next two evenings if you do. And as I said, there's all the links of stuff that we've been using. That Yammer Daily Mining one shows you a concept as well around using Power BI. And you can actually get your download from Yammer, point it at his website, and it extracts it all and gives you back an Excel spreadsheet, which uses the old version of PowerPivot and PowerView, rather than using Power BI, which is pretty good. And you can just sign up to app.powerbi.com and go download Power Desktop. Power BI Desktop is quite good. And there's the links to the GitHub stuff we talked about. Right, and don't forget, useful stuff. I use the Virtual Academy quite a lot. Channel 9 is just absolutely excellent. I use that for a lot of research and to find out things. And of course, complete your evaluations. I know I held you behind from your lunch, but a bit longer. But thanks for staying. Hope you enjoyed
it. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.